Game Plan Radio Network, where football makes sense. This is our Draft Prospect Analysis Show. I'm your host, Chris James, Senior Draft Analyst over here at Football Game Plan. And a great show lined up for you this week, folks. I continue to rank the different prospects for the 2015 NFL Draft. I'm going to finish up over the next 2 weeks. This week, I'm starting off with the defensive players and the guys who pursue the quarterbacks. That's going to be your defensive ends, traditional classic 4-3 type defensive ends, five techniques, things like that. Your rush ends, the guys who can transition between 4-3 defensive end and 3-4 outside linebacker. And your defensive tackles. That's going to be one tech, three techs, nose, guys who play traditionally inside of the guards, over or inside the guards. So I'm just going to cover those particular prospects. Going to give you some strengths, weaknesses, and a round grade as well. Also a scheme fit that I think they work well in. And as we get close to the NFL draft, I'm going to start to wrap up the different things of what I've seen, what I can assess. Like I said, each week, you know, I learn a little bit more. I get a little bit more that I get to see from guys. So when it's all said and done, my big board may change a little bit. It's mainly going to change not with a guy, let's say, dropping down a bunch of spots or anything like that. The main thing is I may add in more guys. If I haven't seen a guy or I'm not too familiar with a guy, he won't be in my rankings initially till I get more familiarized with him. Remember, there's quite a few people who are eligible for the NFL draft. By no means am I going to get to see all of them, almost no matter what. So the guys I get to see, yeah, they're going to be the people who play for the FBS or the FCS, people that I have more footage on, or even guys who have reached out to me. There have been some good players who have reached out and said, look, here's my film, assess it. And I got to tell you, those guys, in my opinion, can play professional football, whether it's up north in the CFL or in the NFL ranks. They're just not going to get seen consistently by myself or some other entities due to lack of exposure. At the end of the day, that's a large portion of it. So if you were kind enough to send me some footage and I had the opportunity to view it, I'll rank you. You're going to get a ranking, and I'm going to give a positive, negative, round grade that's associated with you. But I'm going to give my top 10 this week. That there shouldn't be no changes in my top 10 between now or anything like that, unless something crazy happens, you know, a guy tears an ACL in a workout or something like that, or something crazy happens off the field where you won't really be available, or it's really a detriment to a team if they were to take you, then you might move out of my top 10, 25, whatever it is. So this week I'm going to give that, and then next week I'm going to provide the rest. I'm going to do a refresh on my top 10 and then provide the rest of the top 25 players as we go through the scope, because I will have released all my different positions. The positions that I think everyone except for one player, I've gone over their position. Maybe, yeah, all but one player, I've gone over their position already, or maybe two. So I'm okay releasing that they're in my top 10, and that's why I'm waiting until next week when I finish up with the ranking of all the players. So without further ado, I'm going to release my top 10 and kind of give you a small background on to why. My number one overall prospect in the 2015 NFL draft is Jameis Winston. I think that he's the cleanest prospect on the field as far as football IQ, how he's shown up in games, and his affinity for playing the particular position. My former number one player was Amari Cooper, but I think that Winston has taken over that top spot, what he's able to do. Also playing a position that, you know, I try to downgrade it to give credit to other positions, but at the end of the day, quarterback is an extremely important position. That's why they get paid a lot of money. It's because you generally are looked at as the winner or as the loser when your team wins or loses. Generally, you don't see a team saying, man, you know, we lost that game because our left guard is just not up to snuff today. Usually it's the quarterback. So Jameis Winston has graded out as my number one overall prospect because of what he's able to do on the field. That's all I can take account of for right now. My number two prospect is Amari Cooper. cleanest receiver prospect I've seen in a good long time. No, he's not as great of an athlete as, let's say, a Julio Jones, but what he does, the nuances of running routes, understanding how to catch the ball, his domination of the competition without being a really massive guy. He dominates the competition as if he were like a Calvin Johnson, where it's a matchup problem every week for the opposing secondary. And that's why Amari Cooper is my number two prospect in this entire draft. My number three prospect is a guy who you'll see where he's classified this week as I'll go over his position. That's Vic Beasley, rush end out of Clemson. I think that Beasley was a top 25 guy last year when I was doing my rankings. And what he's done this year is he's just improved with his consistency, also cleaned up some pieces of his game. We'll go over that more when I cover the rush ends. So he's my number three prospect. My number four guy is Landon Collins, safety out of Alabama. I think that Collins is one of those guys that he definitely possesses the ability to play as a deep safety while being an in-the-box safety, being that good combo guy who understands what's going on. The negative about Collins is that he does have an injury history. He does seem to leave games with injuries, but he puts it all on the line. He understands where to be and makes plays. There's not much as shortage when on the field in his game. My number five guy is Todd Gurley, running back. And people say, well, you're ranking a running back pretty high. And I'm saying, you know what? This is about your functional skill set for playing football. I don't care that he's not going to go in the top five because he plays running back, especially since people are scared off of the running back position post Trent Richardson not finding a hole since 1972. Todd Gurley understands how to play the position. He looks for the crease so he can hit the hole when it formulates. He is more versatile, being able to return kicks, and does very well in the passing game. He's improved that every year that he's been on campus at Georgia. My number six overall guy is Randy Gregory, DN out of Nebraska. I think that Gregory is very explosive. Maybe it's that Nebraska uniform that just makes guys look extremely explosive, whether it's Sue or whether it's Levante David, now Randy Gregory. These guys are just, they explode into the backfield. You see him on tape and you say, wow, this guy can really get the job done. Gregory has to mature because the mistake he made this past week, if you want to write it off as, oh, well, it's just a mistake, I understand that. But understand this, I don't make mistakes that include me losing a couple of million dollars. That's just a bad business decision no matter what. So if he likes that more than the millions of dollars, go for it, homeboy. But I don't think that that's the move. On the field, clean prospect from that position, but he needs to shore things up and assure these teams that the investment they're making in him is worth it. My number seven guy is Shaq Thompson out of Washington. Shaq Thompson is a guy who can play from high all the way down to the linebacker position. He can play safety if he needs to. I think that he will be an excellent left outside linebacker prospect because he'll be able to play over the top of the tight end. They don't even need to move a safety down. He can actually do that and function very well. His understanding of the game is extremely good. He's played since he was a freshman, and he's only gotten better. So I think that Shaq Thompson is a quality prospect that will likely go in that top 15 to 20 range. I selected him in a couple of mocks in the 20s because of needs of teams, along with the fact that there's some good strength at that particular position that he plays and deficiencies at other positions. So how I draft in those mock drafts has a lot to do with that. It's not just a reflection of who is my top player overall. It's a combination of that and need if I were a GM of a team. I mean, to be honest, if that was the situation, if I had a team that for some reason lucked into the number one overall pick and I had Aaron Rodgers, or even Andrew Luck, you know, why would I pick Jameis Winston? You see what I'm saying? That's the situation that comes into play. My number eight prospect, and some people might not agree with me, but I like how active he's been since his freshman year playing ball, Dante Fowler Jr. He's not a technician. I said that. Same point in time, he's always active, always around the ball, always making a play. There's something to be said for that. guys listed in front of him, I think, are more technically sound at their position. But when you're flashing on film, and yes, whether or not you want to like to hear it or not, in the SEC or even the Big Ten or the Pac-12 in a major football conference where you're flashing on film consistently, you've got something going on for you. So Dante Fowler Jr. is my number eight overall player. My number nine overall player is Lyle Collins out of LSU. Just a guy who consistently did the job at his position. Whether or not you want to admit that you might say, oh, he needs to kick down the guard. Oh, he doesn't have the length that we look for in a left tackle. I'm sorry, he wasn't getting beaten by these guys. He wasn't. And he also was able to improve his pass blocking skills because he was a run blocker who has improved his pass blocking skills to the point where he has played above average left tackle and then played All-American level left tackle. A guy who I just think is very technically sound. I compared him in some respects to Justin Pugh because, you know, they don't have that normal mold that you look for in a left tackle, 6'7", 330. Who the heck cares? Can you block the block for the quarterback who's going to be entrusted with you being up there in front of him? And he can do that. He can also block in the run game, understands what's supposed to be going on, and he can be a cog in a team's offensive line for a decade plus. And my number 10 guy is Leonard Williams out of USC. We'll get into that with the D tackles, but I just think that Leonard Williams is a guy who offers a lot from an athletic standpoint and even understands the game technically. The issue with Leonard Williams is I don't think that he, and again, we'll get into it more, but I think that he's more versatile than he is impactful. You know, he's kind of like a Marcell Dareus. Some people say he's like Sue, which I don't understand. That is completely wrong in my opinion as far as a comparison, and we can debate left and right if you want to. I say he's more like a Marcell Dareus where he'll make plays, he'll pick off a pass. He'll know where to be against the screen. He does more that's functionally correct than just being disruptive. So that's why I have him ranked number 10 overall. So my top 10 again is Jameis Winston, Amari Cooper, Vic Beasley, Landon Collins, Todd Gurley, Randy Gregory, Shaq Thompson, Dante Fowler Jr., Lyle Collins, and Leonard Williams. I will release the rest of my top 25 next week, and then I'll probably get up on the site my entire breakdown of all my prospects ranked for this particular NFL draft before the draft, so probably in another 2 weeks. So we're going to move on to the defensive end prospects. Remember, folks, if you want to be part of the show, you can call in 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. And we're going to start off with the defensive ends, like I said. These are guys who are, in my opinion, going to play in the 4-3 defensive end. They're going to, you know, whether it's playing wide nine, playing the seven, whatever it is, even the five technique, some of these guys, these are guys who I think will be playing one of those positions consistently, not guys who I think will swing out to three, four outside linebacker or swing in to play the defensive tackle position more. The five technique is the furthest end that I think that any of these guys will be playing, and that's why I have them ranked as a defensive end in my particular draft. So my number one overall defensive end is Randy Gregory out of Nebraska, 6'6", about 245 pounds was his playing weight. You know, he excels as a pass rusher. You just see him pop on film. He also controls the edge very well. One of the things that he does extremely well is the fact that he can set against the run. I mean, it's not his strong suit. He's definitely a pass rusher over anything else, but he can do that, and that's a positive for a guy who plays at his size and also has that pass rush ability. Now, he does play a tad bit high, so I think that he has the opportunity to be knocked off his base when he's playing against guys who are a little smarter with the same strength that NFL guys have. So he could run into that problem. I think if he makes a couple of adjustments and tweaks to his game, that he can be a dominant right defensive end, and that's why I have him. I have him as a 4-3 right defensive end. My number two guy is Corey Crawford. Out of Clemson, this senior 6'5", 270 pounds. I have him graded out as a second-round pick. I think he's very strong at the point of attack, and he plays the run very well. Now, one thing that he lacks, and This is why he's number two. I think that he's very strong in what he has to offer, but he's not an explosive athlete. He has marginal explosion. That plays into whether or not you're going to be a quote-unquote dominant pass rusher. It gives you less opportunity to do so. Now, I think that he's clinically and technically sound, which means that he is going to definitely serve you well. I think that he is a perfect fit on the left side as a 4-3 left defensive end because he'll hold up against the run. He'll cause enough pressure. He'll be able to focus on things like the screen game, which tends to go to the right side of the offense, left side of the defense. He can understand all of that, and I think that that will make him a quality defensive end on the next level. My number three overall defensive end is Preston Smith out of Mississippi State. This senior, 6'5", 270 pounds. I have him graded out as a third-round pick. You know, he's strong at the point of attack also, and he does utilize the bull rush, which a lot of defensive ends are getting away from. They're trying to, you know, do swim moves also, sweep through, spin off, and trying to do all these fancy moves. This is an old-school move from an old-school type team. Mississippi State played old-school ball, and I do appreciate it. Now, what he doesn't have is a cabinet of moves. He's very good at the bull rush. He can rip through a little bit, but he utilizes the bull rush over everything else. He doesn't have a lot of moves. He's not quick with movements, being able to do spin moves and things like that. I think that he'll be better utilized on the left side because he has the strength to hold up against the run. But when all is said and done, he might even be more more actively used as a five technique. Reminds me a lot of, Antonio Smith, who played for the Houston Texans and has kind of bounced around the league. Guy who's active, uses that strength, and can fly inside or out playing the 4-3 left end or playing the five technique. And later in his career, Smith actually has played D-tackle in some 4-3 schemes. So Preston Smith's my number three guy. My number four guy is Mario Edwards Jr. out of Florida State. Early entry junior, 6'3", about 285 pounds. I have him as a third-round grade as well. You know, he plays extremely well against the run. I think he's probably the best run-defending defensive end in this draft class. That's the strength that he had at Florida State. They even flexed him inside a D-tackle. And he can push the pocket, as he's a guy who can be very utilized, be utilized well by causing pressure from the interior. But he does lack explosiveness. He's not a pass-rushing threat as much as he is a guy who can push the pocket and cause pressure for someone else to get the sack. I think that he is best utilized as a five technique on the next level. I think that he can be extremely disruptive from that position. He could play inside as a three, but I don't think that's a strength of his. More suitable even as a one, but I think that five technique is where he lives on the next level in the NFL. My number five defensive end is Trey Flowers out of Arkansas. 6'2", 268-pound senior. I have him with a third-round grade. He holds up against the run well. He's strong at the point of attack. And all around, he's a quality player. Now, what he lacks, and he lacks in NFL abundance, when you're his size, you have to have this, is that explosiveness. He is not the most explosive player. Emory actually compared him to Michael Sam in some respects. I can see that, but I think that he's a better football player than Michael Sam, and think that he'll have more success on the next level. I think that he's best suited to play that left defensive end in a 4-3. If asked to stand up and play in space, I think he could. But I think that as he gets stronger with his game, he'll play better with his hand in the ground. That's just my opinion. Number six overall defensive end is Deion Barnes out of Penn State. I actually like this guy. I start to see more Penn State ball, and he popped a little bit as well. He's early entry redshirt junior, 6'4", about 260 pounds. Gave him a fourth-round grade. I like the quickness. I like the fact that he does play the run. He'll play from the backside as well, chase down guys. What he doesn't do consistently, though, is he doesn't get around the edge of the quarterback with consistency. Can tend to get washed down once in a while, but I do like how he's not going to stop. He's going to continue to try to come. As he gets more used to using his body and his frame to get to the quarterback, he'll be even more of a threat, but that's why he's a fourth-round pick, in my opinion. I have him listed as a 4-3 defensive end on the left side for best utilization. My number seven guy is James Rouse out of Marshall. This is a guy that I actually liked when I saw him. You know, I tried to keep up with the Thundering Herd. One of my friends was on the coaching staff there this year, Clint Mitchell. And then also looking around at how he was able to really effectively get in the backfield. 6'4", 272 pounds. I have him graded on as a fourth-round pick for a couple of reasons. While he is explosive and he is a good pass rusher, you know, I need you to be on the field. And if I'm going to pay you money, I either need you to be really good at something and only be on the field a couple of times, or pretty doggone good and be on the field for longer. I don't think that he is an elite pass rusher. And with his injury history, I don't think that he's going to be on the field that often. So that's why he's more of a fourth-round pick to me. I think he can play on either side, the left or right defensive end. He does have the pass rush skills to play on the right side. He holds up against the run well enough to play on the left side. I think that overall, he's a fine player to get on your team if he holds up, if his body holds up, I should say. My number eight defensive end prospect is Eric Armstead out of Oregon. This junior is 6'7", 296 pounds. He's a fourth-round pick, in my opinion. As soon as you look, you see the athleticism. I mean, he is a freak athlete, played basketball. That's a huge thing. And he's got quality anticipation. You can tell that he's athletic. Whether or not a guy's going to translate from one sport to the other is something that's, you know, it's a crapshoot. But you can tell their athleticism and the fact they're used to playing whatever sport. And you can see that with Eric Armstead, pursuing the ball when it's in the air, coming towards him. Like, he looks like a power forward trying to go get a rebound. The weakness is that he's still seeming to get a groove with the position, and he only has mediocre technique at this point because he's still learning. I think that he would be very useful as a five technique, being able to push from there, or even on the left side in the 4-3. But I think five technique is probably where he should live. A lot of athleticism. This kid can do a lot of things, but I don't like to hinge on athleticism without production. I didn't see the production from him. Useful example, in my opinion, is Dante Fowler Jr. I saw the production. I saw him making plays. I didn't see Eric Armstead making plays consistently. Za'Darius Smith is my number nine defensive end prospect out of Kentucky, 6'5", 270-pound senior. Give him a fifth-round grade. You know, he sets the edge well, in my opinion. He also has a certain level of versatility to him. I liked the combo of Smith and Bud Dupree playing opposite of each other. Definitely got the job done in Kentucky, was a threatening team this year. What he doesn't do well is he doesn't seem to gauge himself with the same, and I'm not going to say intensity, but one game he looks unstoppable. The next game he's just average to below average. That's a concern to me, the consistency level. I think that he could play on either side, the right or the left, because of the strength that he has. But consistency is definitely something to be looked upon and why he's graded down to the number nine guy instead of even higher. My number 10 defensive end prospect is Anthony Chiclow out of Miami. Senior 6'3", 271 pounds. I have him with a fifth-round grade as well. He holds the edge, and he consistently bull rushes. Was watching a game with him against USF, and this kid just was throwing USF tackles around with the bull rush. Now, one of the things that he lacks, he didn't really have any finesse moves or any moves to get past them. If he couldn't go through you, then it was pretty much done. He did hold the edge against the run, but he's not a guy who's going to chase and tackle from behind. Lacks that athleticism that you like to see out of a defensive end, which is why I think that he'd be better suited, in my opinion, playing the five technique or in a pinch playing 4-3 left defensive end if necessary. Martin Ifedi out of Memphis is my number 11 defensive end prospect. He's a senior, 6'3", 274 pounds. Give him a six-round grade. I think he also is strong at the point of attack and has a bull rush. You know, doesn't really have many moves in his cabinet, like I used earlier. Needs to develop more of those. If he does, he can be a pretty dominant guy on the left side from the 4-3 defensive end position. But right now, I think that with what he's offering, he's more of a five technique, in my opinion. Henry Anderson, yes, Mr. Anderson, is my number 12 guy out of Stanford, 6'6", 287 pounds, big kid. Sixth-round pick is what I grade I gave him. He gets penetration, and he keeps the linebackers clean. That's big time for the position I'm going to list him as. He has marginal athleticism, which kind of pigeonholes him into playing more inside near those guards. And, yes, I'm going to have him playing near the guard, between the guard tackle gap. That five technique is where I'm going to have him playing at. I think that he can be a very useful guy there. That lack of athleticism offers him into being only one-dimensional and playing just that position, which is why he's the 12th pick. But he does that pretty doggone well. Ryan Russell out of Purdue is my number 13 guy. Also a senior, 6'5", 267 pounds, six-round pick. No, he's athletic. You can see it. He pops on film. He can get around the edge as well. What he does lack is lacks the athleticism to control his competition, or the functional strength, I should say. You know, it's one of those things where you can see him get around. He can do things. But if a guy locks onto him, he's caught in the wash. He's done. And he's got to improve that. If he does, if he was a little better with that, he'd be ranked higher. I mean, the kid is a playmaker, but he can be lashed onto by an offensive lineman and taken control of. I think he can play on either side as the 4-3 defensive end on the left or right side, but he does need to get a little more strength in his frame. B.J. Larson out of Utah State is my number 14 guy. I like Utah State's defensive program. I like what they're doing, the guys they produce. For years, they've been coming up with guys that have been very productive NFL players. And this is another one in Larson. Had him graded out as a seventh-round pick. I think he could be a sixth-round pick, but more the seventh-round pick in my variety. You know, he holds that edge, understands rushing the quarterback and the concepts that follow with it. He does have a few moves to his system, even though he lacks that athleticism that some other guys have. So this does offer him the opportunity to play on the edge, playing that 4-3 left in defensive end. So I think he could be very useful at that position. My number 15 guy is Ray Drew out of Georgia. This senior, 6'4", about 284 pounds. Seventh-round pick as well, in my opinion. Explosiveness. One thing that Ray Drew does, and I saw him do it against a couple of teams, but he did it against Florida a couple of years ago and definitely did it against LSU 2 years ago. He can push the pocket. He can get off and get around the tackle very well. The problem that I see with Ray Drew is he's so adamant about getting to the quarterback and so adamant about getting up the field that he misuses leverage, and a guy can knock him off his base if he's caught not paying attention. If he gets a gap and he sees it, he goes full blast without control, and if a guy puts a hand on him, he can get knocked down. That's why he's ranked at this position. I have him with the ability to play the 4-3 left end position, but I think he'd be better suited as a 5 technique. It would probably quell his issue with trying to get up the field and allow him to push and attack and really engage two players, which is extremely annoying for an offense if a guy is consistently living the backfield. That's part of the reason J.J. Watt, along with being a really good player, but part of the reason J.J. Watt is so much of a nuisance is because he pushes the pocket from that position. Cedric Reed is my number 16 defensive end prospect out of Texas. 6'6", 271-pound senior. Seventh-round grade is what I gave him. You know, the ability to – he is what I call a classic left defensive end. I think he can play on the right side because he does have a little bit of athleticism to his game, but he's classic left defensive end to me. Plays the run well. Good balance. Reminds me of Will Smith when he came out of Ohio State. He definitely has that ability to him. Corey Morrissey is my last defensive end prospect that I ranked. 17th, Iowa State. I gave him a 7th round grade. 6'4", about 260 pounds. He does use his hands well, and he actually has a few moves to him. What he is, he's not explosive, and that's a problem, especially since he is a guy who's not that stout against the run. What he does do is I think that he does get up the field pretty well. I think as he learns how to develop his game, he can be a very useful guy. A guy early in his career that, to me, had similar issues, wasn't that great against the run, kind of got lost in the wash, but he developed his skill set was Rob Ninkovich, who is now an excellent defensive player for the New England Patriots. When he was with the Saints, Ninkovich got lost often, and that's why he found himself not on rosters. So as Corey Morrissey finds his game, I think he can be a very good player. So my rankings, 1 through 17, Randy Gregory, Corey Crawford, Preston Smith, Mario Edwards Jr., Trey Flowers, Deion Barnes, James Rouse, Eric Armstead, Darius Smith, Anthony Chiclow, Martin Effetti, Henry Anderson, Ryan Russell, B.J. Larson, Ray Drew, Cedric Reed, and Corey Morrissey. Some defensive end prospects from smaller schools to look out for. And again, familiarity I just don't have with these guys. I'd love to gain some more and will as things go along, especially if they end up getting drafted. Mike Riley out of William & Mary. Heard that, you know, Emory's pretty familiar with him and gave him pretty high marks, so I want to check him out. Jeff Covetsy out of Bryant. Kashad Lyons out of Tusculum. Let's see. Will Schwartz out of Saginaw Valley. And Lyndon Trey out of Norfolk State. Just got to get more familiar with those guys. Remember, folks, everywhere you go, there's guys who can play football. I mean, you can go to the D3 ranks to find guys who can play in the NFL. Will they? The likelihood's not as high because while statistically you're more likely to find guys in, let's say, the SEC, Big Ten, whatever it is, people miss. You know how hard it is to get scouting correct? It's hard to get scouting correct when assessing guys going to NFL. Imagine to go to college where there's so many high schools, and if they don't have coaches who get the word out about them, they're lost and end up going to one of these quote-unquote smaller schools. They'll go to Newberry. They'll go to one of these Division II schools, and they're good football players. And those Division II schools don't have the same budgets, so they don't have the same development track. And yes, while they have good coaches, they're not the same level of coach yet, whether it's a young guy who is trying to learn through the ranks and has great football knowledge or, you know, whatever the situation, it's just not the same. You don't have the same benefits at a Division II school as you do at a large FBS school. So these guys come in and they're great athletes in their own right, quality football players, and while they learn, they don't have the same development path as someone is offered at another school. So when people want to tell me that you can't find football players all over the place and, oh, it's so hard, seventh round picks or this or that, I think you're buying into the excuses that are made because you want to listen to the excuses. When your NFL squad tells you, oh, it's hard to find a guy in the seventh round, it's because they want you to forgive them for making mistakes. So we're going to move on to the rushing portion. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get on my soapbox, folks, and I just feel I have to. And this is a good place to voice my opinion about a sport that I care greatly about. So from the rushing position, I have guys that I'm going to rank. I'm going to go through a few of them. This is new this year. You know, as things change in the NFL, you try to find boxes to fit people in. And it's hard to fit everyone in a box. So we had to create this new thing, and it's not new like I created it. Meaning, you know, I've heard of this new position called the rush, and it makes sense. Emory's utilized it. I've utilized it. You've seen it utilized all over the place. It was so hard to try to fit guys into a box of just defensive end and outside linebacker last year when I was trying to do this because they might not play like that traditional outlook of either of those positions. So these guys, in my opinion, play as rush-ins. What they do is they get to the quarterback. They can do other stuff, but their sole position and sole value is trying to get to the quarterback and playing that edge. So without further ado, here's my rankings. Number one guy is Vic Beasley out of Clemson, 6'2", about 230, 235, obviously first-round pick. You know, he has an amazing first step, probably the quickest first step I've seen in a few years. You know, reminds me a lot of Von Miller coming around the edge. He has a secondary move. He has the ability to counter when someone counters him, and he gets around the edge extremely quickly. My biggest weakness for him you know, is that he locks on in on the quarterback. So I think he can get more easily fooled on draws and things like that because he's going to go up the field and get around the edge to the quarterback so quickly. And I think that he can get too intently focused on him. And that can be a weakness, you know, getting up to the quarterback too quickly, not focusing on the position. So I have him listed as a 3-4 outside linebacker, right outside linebacker, I should say, because of his rush skill and a situational 4-3 right defensive end, especially in those NASCAR packages. I think that he can be utilized to really affect the quarterback. My number two rush in position player is Dante Fowler Jr. out of Florida. Early entry junior, 6'2", 261, first round pick to him. You know, versatility. I think he can stand up and play. I've seen him do that. Put his hand in the ground. I've seen him do that. I've seen him blitz, seen him scheme, stunt, do whatever. He's an impact hitter. That's another positive of him. And he's a chase and tackle skill guy. Like, he can chase down from the backside. And whether or not you want to believe it, some guys are just good at that. Barcavius Mingo from LSU used to be extremely good at chase and tackle from behind, more than he was at point of contact tackling if a guy ran towards his side. Weakness. He tends to play a little bit high and loses his momentum with his base, and he's also average with his technique. He doesn't have a quality skill set that says he should play defensive end. He doesn't really do well with his hand on the ground. That's why I think he is strictly a 3-4 outside linebacker. He should not be rushing from the defensive end position unless it's a scheme where they let you play like a wide nine. They let you just come around the edge and use your athleticism. But if he has to functionally take offensive tackles consistently, that's just not in his skill set. A guy who had similar traits to me, at least, was Brian Arakpo, a guy who, you know, functioned a little bit better in that 3-4 scheme. I think he got lucky going to a team that played that scheme. Number three guys, Alvin Dupree, Bud Dupree out of Kentucky. 6'4", 267 pounds. He's a first-round pick, in my opinion. Scheme-averse. I think that he can play the 4-3, the 3-4. Great scheme-averse. And he has great penetration skills. That's a quality that people don't give enough credit to. But he tends to get, he can get washed down. If he gets up the field, an offensive tackle can walk down the cone as it is, push him right past a quarterback. That's not what you want. I think that he needs to concentrate on getting better with the skill set of pass rushing. That's why I don't have him ranked as a strictly defensive end prospect. I think that he can play either side as defensive end in 4-3 or either side as an outside linebacker in a 3-4 because of his skill set that he offers. My number four guy is Shane Ray out of Missouri, 6'3", 245 junior, first-round pick. I think he's got quickness. He gets off the ball extremely quickly, and this is a positive and a negative. He is aggressive. His aggressiveness, he reminds me a lot of James Harrison because he's just angry all the time, and I don't mean in his personal life. I mean on the field. I don't know him in his personal life. All the time on the field, this guy is angry and plays with nastiness. And sometimes that can get him in trouble and get him ejected from a game, kind of like the SEC Championship, or it can get him three sacks in a game. So positive and a negative. A weakness for him is that he's not functionally able to drop into coverage. He's a bit stiff, but he's definitely built, from my opinion, to play that right defensive end in the 4-3 or right outside linebacker in a 3-4. He gets to the quarterback and he does it well. My number five player for the position, the rushing position, is Nate Orchard out of Utah. 6'3", 252-pound senior. I give him a first-round grade as well. He's extremely strong at the point of a contact. And he can move around in space and play in coverage. I think he has that ability to do so. My negative on him, and I mean, this is not a traditional negative, but he's a solo movist. Like, he doesn't have multiple moves to get to the quarterback, but he's really good at being that one-trick pony, in my opinion. Think that he is suited to play on the left side on the next level in the 3-4 scheme because he can drop into coverage if necessary, can get to the quarterback, but since he's not a pass rush specialist, I don't think the right side's for him. I think that versatility he offers plays him better on the left side in the 3-4 scheme. Hold on 1 second, folks. Wagmegbe Idiuzwa out of UCLA. Struggle with names, folks. I struggle with names. But one thing that this kid doesn't struggle with is getting to the quarterback. I'll say this. When I'm watching him, dude has a great first step, and he's already past the tackle. He also has pretty solid technique. He's able to fight back if he overplays. But he does not set an edge. He does not play the run. That's just not for him. He is a pass rush specialist. That's what he does. He can bull rush, but he usually uses pretty solid technique to use different skill sets to get to the quarterback. But it's just not for him playing against the run. It's not because he doesn't want to. It's just he seems uncomfortable doing it. 3-4 right outside linebacker is where I put him because he can get after the QB. Lorenzo Malden is my number 7 guy out of Louisville. 6'4", 256 pounds, second round grade is what I gave this young man. I mean, he's just best describe him in a strong suit and weakness. Jack of all trades, king of none. I think that he's a great all-around player, but he doesn't do anything exceptional. I think that he's probably better suited to play on that left side because he can drop into coverage, in my opinion. He can rush the passer a little bit, in my opinion. He can play stout against the run, in my opinion. But he's not a great run defender. He's not a great coverage guy. He's not a great pass rusher. Ryan DeLeer out of Towson is my number 8 rush-in prospect, 6'4", 250 pounds. Gave him a third-round grade. Towson excels getting around the edge, and he holds up pretty well against the run. Definitely a guy who can chase and tackle from behind. He does flash some of that, like I said, I don't compare him to Barcavius Mingo, but flashes some of that pursuit from behind. My whole thing with him is consistency. I just want him to do it more often. It doesn't mean he doesn't do it. I just want him to do it more often. And if he does that more often, he could be a dominant player on the next level, folks. If you're not familiar with this young man, get familiar. He will be drafted and he will be impactful on the next level. I think he can play either side as a 3-4 outside linebacker. He can play on the left side or right side as he shows his level of comfort coming off the edge. Danielle Hunter is my number 9 guy out of LSU, 6'6", 245. A guy who is an early entry junior, third round pick in my opinion. And I'm an LSU guy, but I don't like to, I've seen more of these guys, so I'm able to give more of an in-depth analysis of these guys. You know, he's got excellent quickness, in my opinion. He actually holds up against the run. I didn't think that he would be that strong against the run this year. Gained a little bit of weight, got a little bit stronger. What he's not, though, is with that quickness, he doesn't seem to functionally use it well. He's not a guy who, as quick as he is in that scheme for LSU, was getting sacks and getting to the quarterback that often. And he didn't have those elite pass rusher skill sets. That's why I think that he would actually be good on the left side in 3-4 scheme as an outside linebacker or a situational left defensive end, even with his lack of size, because he can't hold up against the run and he can cause a little bit of pressure. But at the end of the day, that's just not his thing. Marcus Golden is my number 10 edge rusher out of Missouri, 6'2", 255 pounds. Gave him a third-round grade. He understands how to get to the ball in the backfield, and that's huge. Whether it's against a running back or a quarterback, he knows how to do that. His change of direction skills, he's not able to set his feet quickly and then make something happen. If there's counters or anything like that, I think that he can end up coming down and a guy can get around him. I think that he is better functioning on the left side as a 3-4 outside linebacker. Eli Harrell is my number 11 guy out of Virginia. He's a junior, early entry guy, 6'4", 235 pounds. Give him a fourth round grade. You know, he gets to the QB, and he has a counter move, which is good. He's a guy who definitely rushes the passer route, but though he rushes the passer well, more of a one-trick pony as well. He's not a tactician. He's not that technically sound. He doesn't understand leverage yet. I think that is why he's ranked here on my list. I think that if he does not clean up some of his technique and get stronger in his base, he'll get pushed around trying to come around the edge. He'll lose balance, and that is a definite negative. I think that he can play either side, the left or right outside linebacker position in a 3-4 scheme. Louis Kikaha out of Washington is my number 12 outside linebacker rush in positional pick. He's a senior, 6'3", 250 pounds. I gave him a fourth round grade. You know, he's extremely powerful at the strong point of attack. He's above average in space. He's not a he seems comfortable in space, but he's not an elite athlete. So it's not as if he's going to be able to chase down in space or do any of that. He just seems comfortable playing with his hand off the ground. And that is to be definitely taken into consideration. I think that he's going to be a 3-4 left outside linebacker because of his comfort in space, but also the fact that he's not a polished pass rusher. Zach Hodges out of Harvard is my number 13 rush end guy. He's a senior, 6'3", 244 pounds. Give him a fifth round grade. I think he's quick off the ball. He definitely gets around the edge, and that's positive. But he's not as strong as you would like. I think that he definitely he doesn't have a power move as much as he has that speed rush. He will continue to develop his skill set, and I think that personally he can play the 3-4 outside linebacker on the right side. You know, that was definitely a question that I had when looking at him going to the Senior Bowl was, will he be able to play with his hand in the ground in that scheme set scheme? Will he be able to even play in the 4-3 as an outside linebacker? Because he seems like he's not as strong coming around the edge as he could be. So I think that he could actually make that move to that position. But for now, I'm judging him as a rush in prospect. Shaquille Riddick out of West Virginia, my number 14 defensive end rush in prospect, 6'6". 236 pounds, a little lighter than some people would expect. I give him a six-round grade. You know, he's got acceleration. Definite acceleration that is shown. And he's got a great radius, you know, at 6'7", to bat down pass and do things like that, which is one of the things Danielle Hunter is also good at. His weakness, you know, it doesn't end well if an offensive lineman gets his hands on him. If he's able to be engaged, he struggles to get off, and he can get thrown around a little bit. I think that he's a situational pass rusher in the 4-3 from the right side, and if he's going to be on the field more often, he can also play as a 3-4 right outside linebacker. But I think he's more of a situational guy, a specialist, which is why I put him into the sixth-round pick, a guy who can do something fairly well, especially if you need him in those NASCAR packages. There's nothing wrong with drafting guys for specialties if they're good at what they're doing. Jamari Orasco out of LSU is my number 15 guy. This senior, 6'4", 260 pounds. I gave him a seventh-round grade. I think that he's great against the run, and one of the things that's an underrated thing is he's always active. He has what is referred to as a high motor. He's not extremely athletic, so he makes up for it with effort plays. And that's a big thing. I think that he's a 3-4 left outside linebacker or a situational 3-4 left end because he doesn't have that quickness to get around the edge from the right side. But I think that he holds up well enough against the run and can understand how plays are developed in the screen game, things like that, where he would be good to have in passing situations on the left side, again, where screens are usually run, left side of the defense, right side of the offense. Scott Wegman out of Montana is my number 17 guy, 6'3", 247 pound senior. He's a seventh round pick in my opinion. You know, good in space. And he's a chase and tackle type player, a guy who will chase you down from behind. Weakness is that he lacks technique as a pass rusher. So I think that he has actually the opportunity to play, since he's good in space, as a 4-3 outside linebacker, but for now I'm going to rank him as a 3-4 left outside linebacker, especially if he's in a scheme that is used to playing almost as if they have four down linemen using that right end as a right outside linebacker as a lineman, and then the other three linebackers play as if it's an over front and a 4-3. And then my final guy to be ranked is Javonte Williams, my number 18 Russian out of John C. Smith. He's a senior, 6'2", 255 pounds. Seventh round pick is the grade I gave him. You know, this is one of the guys that I was talking about. He sent me some film saying, hey, you know, what do you think? And here's what I thought. I thought he was a quality bull rusher. He definitely used his strength and his drive, and he was strong at the point of attack. Now, weakness, I thought he had a limited athleticism, and I would have liked to see him use more moves than the bull rush, but when he was using it, it seemed very effective. He also ripped through to get around pretty well, and that is something that I can give credit to. Situationally, I think that he could be at 4-3 defensive end and pass rush, but I think he's going to live as a 3-4 left outside linebacker on the next level, and he could play in the NFL. I do believe that. So those are my rush ends. Vic Beasley, Dante Fowler Jr., Elvin Bud Dupree, Shane Ray, Nate Orchard. I'm not even going to try right now. Lorenzo Malden, Ryan Delear, Danielle Hunter, Marcus Golden, Eli Harold, Uli Kaka out of Washington, Zach Hodges, Shaquille Reddick, Jeremiah Rasko, Zach Wegman, and Javonte Williams. And we're going to move on to defensive tackle prospects. Remember, if you want to be part of the show, you're welcome to call in. It's 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. My number one defensive tackle prospect is Leonard Williams out of Southern Cal. This early entry junior is 6'5", about 300 pounds, actually. I gave him a first-round grade. He's my 10th overall prospect. He's got functional athleticism. I think that he plays in space well, in a confined space well, no matter what the situation, like I was explaining earlier. And he's actually very strong. He definitely, as a weakness, plays too high, which gives him some trouble. I think as he becomes more used to a position, that he'll be more effective. I think that he's more of a five technique at this point, and he can play the one technique. You know, the three technique would not be a place that I think that he would be as effective. But because, again, I don't think that he has that skill set that people were comparing him to Sue. I just don't think he has that skill set. But I do like what he has to offer. I think that upside is something that you factor in. If a person is productive and has some skill to their situation, they play well, and they have more upside, more room for growth, that's huge. So that's why he's ranked number one as a defensive tackle prospect. My number two defensive tackle prospect is Malcolm Brown out of Texas. This junior is 6'4", 320 pounds. Gave him a first-round grade, very strong at the point of attack. And I think that he's scheme-averse. He's versatile as well. Now, he does struggle with movements as far as stunting and doing things like that. I think that he's more of a one-directional penetration-type guy. That's why I have him as a one-tech. I think that in a pinch, he could play the three-technique because of his strength, but he doesn't have, in my opinion, he doesn't have that skill set to really beat up on a guard that's in front of him. So he'd be more of a one-tech, a penetration-type guy because of the strength that he has. Carl Davis is my number three defensive tackle prospect. Remember, he was one of my 15 for 2015, one of my preseason top 15 players. I think that he didn't do much wrong to lose ground. I think the other guys did some stuff right. And being juniors does help you. Again, that quote-unquote upside is big. These guys improved coming up in the ranks from their sophomore year to their junior year. And Carl Davis still played well, but he wasn't as dominant as a force as I expected. Now, he's 6'5", 320 pounds. I gave him a first-round grade, though. What he does is he beats the double team very well, and he keeps the linebackers behind him clean. That's a big thing to be spoken for. Now, what he does lack is explosiveness. That's something that you're not going to get from him. I think that he is a guy who can play on that front. I think one tech is probably where he's going to lie, but he could also play the nose if you needed him to. And that is something to be looked at and desired, to be honest. You have to understand what a guy's going to be able to do for you, and I think that he would have the ability to make that adjustment if necessary. Danny Shelton is my number four defensive tackle prospect out of Washington. He's a senior, 6'2", 250 pounds, big boy. I gave him a first-round grade as well. He has great initial punch. I think he's one of the stronger guys, and he's a space eater. I think he's a nose tackle just waiting to happen. What he does lack is, while he's quick and short burst, I think that he tends to lose steam as a game goes on, and it just probably comes from size. But I think that if asked to play in more space than necessary, you'll tire him out too quickly, and in the fourth quarter, that could be a problem. I think as a nose tackle, a guy who's there on first and second down, removed from the field on third down when there's going to be a lot of running necessary, this could be very helpful and extend his career and also extend his time in the game, making it him very impactful, keeping those linebackers clean, especially if you're running a 3-4 scheme, and you can have two inside linebackers who are running free to make tackles. My number five guy is Grady Jarrett out of Clemson. He's on the smallish side at 6'1", about 288. Gave him a second-round grade. Again, great footwork, in my opinion, and quickness. That causes him to be able to penetrate very well, but he doesn't take on the double team well. Doesn't beat the double team well at all, in my opinion. So that speaks to him being a three technique. I think that he has the footwork, the handwork to line up man-on-man with a guard and really tell the guard, hey, I'm better than you. So Grady Jarrett is my number five guy. My number six guy is Eddie Goldman out of Florida State. He's an early entry junior, 6'3", 320. Gave him a second-round pick. I think that he can beat offensive linemen, and he has a great initial punch. One of the things that I struggle with Goldman is he doesn't find the football, the quarterback, consistently. I think that he's going to end up being a guy who's more disruptive than a quarterback sacker. And disruptive forces can be positive. I think that he's a one technique because of this and would fit well in a scheme like they used in Detroit the last couple of years. Jordan Phillips is my number seven defensive tackle position, defensive tackle prospect in this draft out of Oklahoma. He's a redshirt sophomore, 6'6", 334 pounds, gave him a second-round grade. You know, quickness for his size. He's extremely quick for being a guy who's almost 340 pounds, and he gets inside fairly easily. Now, I'm more concerned with rushing the passer than playing against the run. He seems to be disinterested in playing the run, and I think that comes from youth and also trying to make a name for yourself. I think that he has the opportunity, even at his size, to play the three technique in a pinch, but one tech is probably where I would put him. You just have to figure out where he'd be more useful in your scheme. I think that he has the opportunity to play both, though, depending on what they want to do with him. Marcus Hardison out of Arizona State is my number eight defensive tackle prospect. He's a senior, 6'3", 311 pounds. Gave him a second-round grade as well. I think he has great quickness for a guy who's a bigger guy. And he also gets inside, gains access to alleys on the interior easily. Now, one of the things that he doesn't do is he doesn't take control of an offensive lineman. He can be allowed to be controlled. If a guy engages him, it seems like he doesn't have a way to disengage from them as easily as some other guys. I think he has to work on that. I think that he would be a great three technique because of the fact that he has that hand work, footwork, is able to get inside, but he needs to play one-on-one with the guy, can't take on the double team easily. Xavier Cooper out of Washington State is an early entry guy. He's a 6'4", 300-pound junior. Third-round grade I gave him. Quickness and the ability to find the ball. He seems to actively find the ball. Did very well against teams that ran zone concepts. Played in space against the likes of Oregon. He did very well. Now, he has mediocre technique, which is a problem. I think that that's something that needs to be addressed and taken care of. I think that playing that five technique would probably be the best thing for him, or even a one tech. I don't think that he has the ability without having a technical skill to be a three technique successfully. Joey Mabu is my number 10 defensive tackle prospect out of Houston. He's a senior, 6'3", 315 pounds. Gave him a third-round grade. Now, he's extremely powerful with the point of contact, probably the strongest D-tackle in here. Some might argue that it's Malcolm Brown or it's Danny Shelton. I'd say I'd put Mabu up against them as well. Now, he lacks a secondary move. He's just a strength guy. And I think that he's more of a one-technique or even a nose tackle in a pinch, but more of a one-technique type guy. Tyler Davidson out of Fresno State is my number 11 defensive tackle prospect. He's a senior, 6'2", 315. Gave him a third-round grade. Strong at the point of attack, and he does accept the double team. Now, his weakness is that he lacks great strength in the lower body. While he'll take on the double team, it doesn't seem to he doesn't seem to control anything as well as some other guys are. I think that he's a one technique as well, in my opinion. Michael Bennett is my number 12 guy out of Ohio State. He's a senior, 6'2", about 290 pounds. He's a fourth-round grade, in my opinion. He's a great pass rusher, and he has a solid counter move, which works well for him, but he has below-average strength at the point of contact, and he lacks functional strength in his lower body. I think that if he's going to be successful, he'd be a situational pass rusher from the three-technique position. Situational pass rusher from the inside, or he'd have to play the three technique if he wanted to stay on the field. He'd have to be singled up, can't take on double teams at this point. And I think that with his ability to sneak inside, that he'd be fine playing the three technique. He just needs to get a little stronger, get used to being pushed around a little bit more, and build that strength. Derek Lott is my number 13 defensive tackle position out of prospect out of Chattanooga. 6'4", 305 pounds, fourth-round pick. You know, he's got quickness and versatility, and those are two big things. But he can get moved off the spot, and that is a negative. I think that he's more of a five technique. You can't really expect him to cause anything but disruption. He's not going to control. He's not going to do that as well as some other guys. Terry Williams out of East Carolina is my number 14 guy. 6'1", 345 pounds. He's a fourth-round graded guy, in my opinion. And, folks, you're noticing I have a lot of defensive tackles graded here. I think that this is a good year for defensive tackles. Quickness for his size. He is very quick for his size, but he can get washed down the line later in games. It seems like he maybe he just wears out. I think that it's possible that he needs the same treatment as a guy like a Danny Shelton, where he should be playing that nose tackle position in on downs one and two, and he could be more successful. Rakeem Nunez-Roches out of Southern Miss, my number 15 guy. He's a junior, 6'2", 305 pounds. Give him a fifth-round grade. He's got great quickness, and he can beat an offensive lineman. But his negative is he's not overly strong or powerful at the point of attack. I do think that he has the opportunity to play the three technique because of his quickness and the fact that he can, with the hand battle, beat an offensive lineman. That's something to be praised. My number 16 guy is Gabe Wright out of Auburn. The senior is 6'3", 299 pounds. Gave him a fifth-round grade. He plays strong. I'll give him that. And he's got some quickness and spurts. But the negative, and it's a big negative as to why I've knocked him down, he's not consistent. And he seems like I'm not going to claim anyone takes plays off, but it seems like he does not play the same consistently throughout the game for longer than necessary spurts. You know, if it's one play and you're kind of worn down, it's understandable. But when it's a series and you're just not playing with the same intensity, raise your hand and say that you're tired. But you're affecting the defensive negatively if you just stay in. I think that he has the opportunity to play a three technique on the next level if necessary. Justin Hamilton out of UL Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns, did get a grade for me. 6'2", 315 pounds. He's my number 17 D-tackle. I gave him a six-round grade. I think he's extremely powerful at the point of attack, but his negative is he doesn't have great quickness. I think that he'd be an undersized nose tackle, a guy who could control from that interior. Remember, you don't have to be 350 pounds to play nose tackle. You have to be able to control and hold up against anything that comes your way on the inside. Keep those linebackers clean. Caleb Ewells out of Mississippi State is my number 18 guy, 6'3", 310 pounds, strong at the point of attack as well, but he does lose balance. Don't think that he could play the one tech. I think that he probably be. I think that he could play the one tech as his best option. Being very strong at the point of attack, I mean, that is a something to be valued, but you can't get knocked off your base. And he was more than once when I saw him, especially that Georgia Tech game was bad for that entire defensive line from the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Christian Covington out of Rice is a number 19 guy. He's a early entry junior, 6'3", 295 pounds, sixth round pick. He pushes the pocket, and that is a definite positive. Getting pressure from the interior is huge, but he lacks a counter move and that ability to do that. So I think that playing the five technique would be very successful for him. I think that that's where he could show his true value. Darius Kilgo is my number 20 D tackle out of Maryland, 6'4", 320 pounds. Seventh round pick. I think he's strong at the point of attack as well. Definitely a run stuffer, but that's all. He does not have the ability to really rush the passer. That's a negative. I think that he is a nose tackle on the next level. Again, a guy who's not that big, just about 300 pounds, but I think that he plays that nose tackle position. Earl Mitchell would come to mind, a guy who played in Wade Phillips' defense for the Texans, and he was about 295, 300 pounds, but he played the nose tackle because of how he was able to control and hold up against the run. Chucky Hunter is my number 21 defensive tackle out of TCU, 6 foot, about 300 pounds. Seventh rounder has quickness to his game, which is definitely a positive, but he gets moved off of his spot. I think that he got helped out by other guys being very aggressive. On the next level, you're going to have to do a little bit more for yourself. I think that he can play the three technique in a pinch or the one tech. Not having that functional strength that is necessary, he's going to have to make some improvements. I think that his activity and being active is the reason I ranked him. Willing to take a seventh-round flyer and a guy who is act productive, but he definitely lacks some of the situational functional strength that would give me confidence to rank him higher. And those are my guys for the defensive tackle position. I'll give you the quick rundown again. 1 through 21, that is Leonard Williams, Malcolm Brown, Carl Davis, Danny Shelton, Grady Jarrett, Eddie Goldman, Jordan Phillips, Marcus Hardison, Xavier Cooper, Joey Mabu, Tyler Davidson, Michael Bennett, Derek Lott, Terry Williams, Rakeem Nunez-Roches, Gabe Wright, Justin Hamilton, Caleb Euless, Christian Covington, Darius Kilgo, and Chucky Hunter. All right, folks. So like I said, next week I'm going to get into the guys who hold up against the hold up against the ball being passed and also show up the run fits, the guys who they're first responders to kind of drop back, and that's the outside linebackers that are left, inside linebackers, the corners. And I'll try to get through the corners, safeties as a whole. I'm probably going to do a longer show, 2 hours next week to get it all knocked out because we do want to make sure that the last show of the week or last week before the draft is very draft intensive on just looking at different things, reviews, even a look back at what teams did in the 2014 season to cause them to have to address these draft picks in the 2015 season. So Football Game Plan Network, this is Chris James signing off. Remember, you can hit me up on Twitter at CJFlorida9. You can hit turn up on Twitter at Turin Davenport. You can hit up Emery at F-Ball Gameplay. You can hit up Gene at Gene Clemens. And, you know, we'll respond. We'll give our honest opinion as much as we possibly can. It might not be an opinion that fits the mold of the normal. And I'll give you an example. I'm going to preface this with, yes, at one point I had this first quarterback ranked as a first-round pick. I dropped him down to a second-round pick. And then the other quarterback I ranked as a third-round pick. I think that Geno Smith gets way too much criticism, even though he has not played that well so far. And I ranked him as a second-round pick. I think a guy who gets a lot of credit, even though he played very similarly to Geno Smith, is Blake Bortles. And I said this beforehand. I didn't think Blake Bortles was a bad player or a bad quarterback. I just didn't think he was the third overall pick. I thought he was a third rounder. I think that both guys have struggled early on in their career. I think that both guys can improve with improvements to their team, as their teams weren't strong either offensively. But to see Geno Smith get so much criticism, it's as if Geno Smith went out and kicked puppies on a daily basis, the way that people talk about him. But Blake Bortles, who I think has played as well as he can right now, you know, I'm not saying Blake Bortles is horrible. I just don't think Blake Bortles is Teddy Bridgewater. So Blake Bortles is not getting the same criticism as Geno Smith. You would think Geno Smith was a 5 or 6 year veteran and not a guy who's only been in the NFL for 2 years. You would really think that that's the problem. You know, another guy is E.J. Manuel, who, I'll say this, E.J. Manuel does look horrific out there. But you would think these guys have been in the league for 5, 6 years. You got to remember, Alex Smith was horrendous as a quarterback for 6 years before he finally became above average when Jim Harbaugh got there. Since 2005, from 2005 to 2009, Alex Smith was horrible. He was hot garbage juice. And now he's an above-average NFL quarterback, and he even, at one point, was a Pro Bowl-caliber guy for a season. You got to give these guys a chance, or you got to just say that they're not good to start with. You can't have the information to know that these guys are not good, then pick them high, then say, oh, they're garbage. You can't have the information of, we know this guy doesn't have talent around him, yet we're going to lambaste him. You give me Eric Decker, you give me Stephen Hill, and I'm angry at you. I might turn to the Incredible Hulk. At least they gave him Eric Decker, who is a competent receiver. He's not a number one. He's more of a 2 to 3, but at least he's competent. And now they have him with a really good receiver, so we'll see what happens now. Now we can start to judge Geno Smith. If he's not good after this year, hey, project's done. Blake Bortles, if they get him some doggone protection in a run game that's not inefficient, maybe he'll be better too. But all I'm saying is sometimes the narrative is not what you're looking for when guys have similar numbers, similar outputs, and everything is similar except a few things are a little different. And it's frustrating to see one guy get treated like he kicks puppies on a daily basis and the other guy, they don't say a negative word about his game. All right, folks, for the Football Game Plan Network, this is Chris James signing off. Enjoy your weekend, and I'll see you next week.